Welcome to Unfiltered Espresso, the podcast where we ditch the textbook and chase adventures with incredible people. I'm your host, Sahar Sharma, and joining us virtually, all the way from Mumbai, is Greg Pardo from the US Consulate's press office. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thank you very much, Sahar, and thank you for having me here today.
Okay, so first things first, what's your official title and what exactly does a spokesperson from the US Consulate do? I'm sure everyone would want to know that first.
No, yeah. Well, I think there's two official titles. One's the more diplomatic title. I'm a second secretary in the Foreign
Oh.
Service. No, but that's the title that the government of India uses for me to get recognized as a U.S. diplomat here. But officially, what I use with the public is spokesperson. And
Okay.
as a spokesperson, I am basically, in addition to the consul general, one of the faces of the consulate. So I speak to the press, to the media, digital media, whenever there's any press inquiries, or like yourself,
Yeah.
you're viewing me right now. And so I get to talk about what policies we have or any initiatives or objectives that the US consulate has.
Let's rewind a little bit. So you grew up in Texas with Mexico practically next door, right? And you lived in Bangladesh for a bit, and now you're in Mumbai. So you've seen a ton of the world. How do you think cultures shape both personal and professional experiences of a person's life?
Well, they shape them significantly, and sometimes you don't even realize how much the cultures you're living with or living next to are shaping the way we interact with each other, the way we communicate with each other, the languages we use, the slang we use,
Yeah.
the food we have, and it's so it does impact you. So, like you said, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, which is 3.5 hours away from the U.S.-Mexico border. And my mom is from Mexico, so I grew up going to Mexico a lot, to visit
Okay.
my grandparents, my Nana and Nani G, as you would say. And I of course do I did that. I spent a semester in London, so in the UK when I was
Oh.
at university at St. Mary's University. I did a program in London. And of course Bangladesh. I also did study abroad in India.
Oh, wow.
I went to Delhi in 2005, and then also Ranchi, Jharkhand. So two different
Wow.
places. And so yeah, they really shape you eventually on how you interact with people, because the way I interact with, say, friends from my neighborhood in San Antonio, it might not be the same way I interact with people I know in London or in India or in Mexico.
Yeah.
Very different. So it does shape the way you communicate with each other, and also how open you are to like fun things like different foods or sports.
Yeah. It's said that people who travel are smarter. What do you think about that? Are they actually smarter?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'll start with the negative first.
Okay.
I know people who have traveled around the world and seen different places, but they didn't really immerse themselves, allow themselves to explore the culture they went to visit. And so maybe they don't tend to be smarter. They're just somebody who traveled. But I think those who really take the time to immerse themselves. So when I first came to India, I was only here for 3 weeks, but making sure that I was learning how what people eat, that there is vegetarian food and non-veg. Not everybody eats Punjabi food. I think in the United States, what people think there is that all Indian food is Punjabi food.
Spicy also.
Spicy also.
Yeah.
The other thing is, how people practice religions. I didn't realize how diverse India is in terms of religions. There's Hinduism, there's Islam, there's Christianity, Sikhism, Buddhism.
Everything, yeah.
And I think exposing myself to that, obviously, and learning more about the culture makes you smarter. But you have to make the effort when you travel
Yeah.
to immerse yourself in that culture, and to learn how things go, and to learn how to respect differences. I think that's what makes you smarter. If you don't, say if you just go down to Mexico City and just travel and take some photos and not really truly try to understand the culture, then yeah, maybe you're not that smart. You're just well traveled.
So since we're on the topic of travel and culture and everything, how many languages do you know?
I know, I would say 3.5.
Okay.
Speak English. I also grew up speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
I was bilingual. Later on, I learned how to speak Bengali. So I'm ekta Bangla bolte pari because of my time in Dhaka. And then 12 years ago, I took 6 months full time of learning Hindi. So
Oh.
that's overtaken my Bangla. And so I speak 3.5 languages. I studied French in high school, but
Wow. Do
all I
you
can say
remember any?
is je m'appelle Greg and comment tu t'appelles. That's all I can remember.
I actually took Spanish in school. So,
Okay.
Jamapel is the only thing I know. I don't even think I'm pronouncing that correctly, but
Well,
yeah. So we could say you're multilingual, right?
I'm multilingual, you can say that.
Yeah. So language barriers could really hinder communication. And do you think it's important to know a bunch of languages to be multilingual?
Yes, if you have the opportunity to learn more than one language, I say go for it. It helps you out tremendously. I think that's one thing I find fascinating in India, that a lot of people don't speak just one language. They speak
Yeah.
more than one. So if you're in the north, you probably speak English and Hindi, or English, Hindi and Punjabi. Right here in Mumbai, you either speak Hindi or Marathi, or there's Gujarati. It makes it so effective, because then you can really try to it breaks down barriers, and you can really help understand people when they're trying to communicate with you. And it builds more trust. And you get to do fun things like understand jokes.
Yeah.
You get to understand certain nuances you wouldn't be able to capture if you're only speaking in your own language. And so I grew up speaking Spanish and English, so I think that's helped me a lot as a diplomat. Even
Yeah.
now, as a spokesperson, obviously, if I go meet with any of the major newspapers like Indian Express or Times of India, we'll have a conversation in English. But then if I meet, with a Dainik Bhaskar in Hindi, I speak in Hindi. And they are able to understand me better. I am able to understand what they're asking me a lot better, and it builds that trust. And plus,
Yeah,
what
it is, yeah.
when I go out and look for street food or chai or anything like that, I get to interact more easily with people. And then, obviously, because of my skin tone, I can pass as Indian, so
Yeah.
I'm able to blend in a bit more,
Yeah,
and kind of sneak in there and have these conversations that. In Hindi with people, and it helps me build that trust. It helps me communicate our goals a lot better as a consulate. Yes, I think it's so important, because I think if we only speak in one language, there's going to be a lot lost in translation.
yeah.
Miss the nuances. You're not going to be able to build trust as much as you can when you speak somebody else's language.
Yeah, and personally, I'm bilingual, and it's really fun to mix the two languages. So I speak English and Hindi, a little bit of Spanish, but English and Hindi, and it's really fun to talk in both. You know, if someone knows both the languages and to talk to them in a mix, Hinglish, as you would call it, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah, and that's something like San Antonio, where I grew up. You have a large Mexican American population, so you have a lot of people who do speak Spanish, but there are people who are born in the United States, right? And so they speak more English than Spanish. So the same thing, like you have Hinglish,
Yeah.
you have Spanglish, and so people can they get by with that sometimes. And so you might see that in places like San Antonio, Los Angeles, some of those cities, San Diego. You see that Spanglish, just like here with Hinglish.
You were talking about street food, right? Communicating with the vendors. So, Mumbai street food, super popular. What's your favorite Mumbai street food?
Oh gosh, I would say right now it's vada pav and golgappe.
Okay, that's a classic. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
golgappe.
golgappe.
Yeah, they're great. I can have a lot. My record is 20.
Oh my God, at once?
Eventually.
Okay.
And vada pav, obviously, I love it. It's really spicy and
Yeah.
really tasty. And sometimes I feel like, wow, I shouldn't have any more, but then I go for my second. But it's really good. But then just the diversity of food here, though.
Yeah.
Of course, you have vada pav, very Marathi, but then you can also find Parsi food. You
Quite a
can
few options.
go in food, and it's really nice to taste that diversity of food here.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on from food now. Having such a diverse background of positions in the US Department of State, I'm sure you must have met a lot of people from different walks of life, right? So now you're the spokesperson, and you might have met even more people being the spokesperson. If you were to explain the importance of networking to high school students and how to even go about it, how would you do so?
Networking. We're talking about speaking with people, or being multilingual and being able to talk to different people. The importance of networking is it's very crucial for my position. But it's not just networking with people in power, right? So I get to meet with people who are senior editors of newspapers. I've met Bollywood celebrities and
Yeah.
Indian sports figures. But it's also being able to network with people who don't have that kind of status, who probably come from a lower income or come from a different religious background. And so one moment I might be meeting somebody really important who might be a celebrity or who might be a key journalist. And then the next day, like this past Saturday, I was in Dharavi and visiting an all-girls school, where they're really using that education to empower young women. And in fact, one of them who graduated from this foundation is currently in the United States studying at Virginia Tech. And so
Wow.
it's so important to network as as a learn how to network as a high school student. You can start that by just networking with your teachers, working with each other, sometimes going beyond your comfort zone. Don't just hang out with those who come from the same income or same religious background or same neighborhood. Maybe start meeting people who come from different walks of life, chatting with them, and learning more. I think that's really important because that really helps you with your emotional intelligence as you get older. And you'll hear this a lot, the EQ, learning how to read a room. That's important. But as a Also, just as a high school student, I think it helps to start being confident when you are networking with people, introducing yourself, knowing when to say ma'am and sir in certain situations, and then being okay with like, hey, how's it going with other people. You'll understand that, but these are skills that will help you in university. These are skills that will help you in your career, and regardless of what industry you go into, whether it's business or diplomacy or education. So if you're a high school student, I would say you start in school, reaching out to teachers, asking for advice, reaching out to counselors, neighbors, family members, creating a mentor network, a network of mentors. And mentors can be your teachers, your coaches. It can be your friends or older classmates who can serve as a mentor or relatives. And that's how you do it, because I think you should never try to do things alone. You should always have a community of friends who can or supporters who help you.
Support system, yeah.
Support system. And that's part of networking.
In college also, most public universities have such a big class size. So I've heard whenever you go to college and you attend these lectures, you should always reach out to professors and, talk to them. Because I mean, if there's 1,000 people in the room, you're just one there and you have to make yourself stand out, right?
Exactly. Stand out. And when people know you, especially if it's a professor or a research assistant, if there's an opportunity that comes up, if they know you, you're the first person that comes to mind. It's like, oh, I know Saheb does podcasts. Let's do her. She let's get offer this opportunity to her because she's really good at communication. And that's really important. So networking is important. You can't do things in isolation.
Okay, so you said you've met all these celebrities, influential people, and sports persons. What was your favorite interaction, and who was it with, if you could name one?
Favorite interaction so far before the Cricket World Cup that happened in the United States and the West Indies, we were able to do some videos with Virat Kohli.
Oh
And
yeah, I saw those.
so he's like the Stephen Curry, LeBron James of cricket,
India,
India and Indian cricket. And so I didn't know what to expect. He was actually really nice, down to earth. He had put some time aside just for the recording here with us. And usually sometimes you might have celebrities who are just thinking, hey, I need to do this real quickly and I need to leave. And he took the time to chat with us. He shared with us what he thought about cricket and in the United States and how that was unexpected for him. But also just looking forward to playing in New York, and his favorite sports figure, American sports figure, who is Michael Jordan. And so that was nice to hear. And just him sharing about his family, what he thinks about his kids' future. And that was nice. That was a really nice interaction, especially when you see somebody on the pitch or on TV. So you don't know how they're going to be. Maybe you think to yourself, maybe they're not going to want to talk to you. He was actually really nice. But we've had some fun things. Been able either randomly or professionally meet people like Anupam Kher, or I'll do a video where I did some dialogue and sat with Akshay Kumar,
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny.
and that was really funny. And of course, again, these are people who are on the TV screen, who then you get to, you meet in person. And that's exciting. At that moment, you're trying really hard not to become a fanboy, because it's like, this is somebody famous.
Yeah, you see them on TV and now they're like right there. So
So that was good. But again, just like I enjoy meeting with them, I enjoy meeting with people from all walks of life. So I've met a variety of people, not just from Western India, but also from my previous assignments here, from Bihar, from Jharkhand, Punjab, and West Bengal, and the Northeast. And it's been nice to just meet a variety of people and just to see what amazing work they're doing in their communities.
That's pretty cool. You mentioned cricket. Are you a cricket fan?
I have become a cricket fan.
Yeah, I thought so. Coming to India, of course, you have to become a cricket
My
fan.
cufflinks are little cricket balls. I'll be honest. So we were really excited this year that cricket, the T20 World Cup, was happening in the United States, and because it gives us an opportunity to show India how much we share in common. And
Yeah.
there's a sport that is obviously it's really famous in India, and being able to host this in the United States, and we knew that it was going to be very exciting for people who are from India, who are living in the United States, or the Indian diaspora, Indian Americans, and just like Virat Kohli said, not just for them, but all the South Asian Americans who are there, people from Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and Pakistan who are living in the United States, and now they get to see their teams of their home countries coming to play the United. There and so that was really exciting. It was exciting for us, and it was just even more exciting to see India win the World Cup.
Yeah,
The U.S.
finally.
the U.S. team didn't get to get that
Oh,
far, but they played well. And so again, it was an opportunity for us to show how much our two countries are coming together, these things that they have in common. But I'll be honest, when I first was introduced to cricket, I was like, oh, when I was growing up, I was like, what is this? I thought
a
it was
bat and a ball, yes.
it's just a British game that they stop for tea and they play for many days, and it's worrying. That's what I used to think. I was like, I'd rather stick to baseball. Now that I've been introduced to it, see, I've been watching it since 2005. I get really excited to see the matches, especially when you have big matches like India versus Pakistan.
Oh
Those
my God, yeah.
are
Everyone comes together. Everyone comes together. It's like a whole party.
And it was
Yeah.
just to be here in Mumbai when India won the World Cup. That was
Yeah.
exciting. It's a once in a lifetime ex experience for me. And I was just honored to be here at that time. And at the consulate, obviously, we have our own cricket teams and we get to
Oh.
play against each other. So yes, I do like cricket.
Did you support the US team or the Indian
Of course,
team?
cheering for the US team, got to cheer for the home team.
Yeah.
It was the first time that, we were playing at that level. But also just really excited for our friends on the Indian team, just to see India win. And because we got to see our neighbors, our coworkers, just celebrating. And then being in Mumbai for that parade, I didn't get to
Yeah.
go, but it was just,
It was crazy.
was
It was
crazy. It was
so many
fun.
people. Yeah.
It was just exciting to see our neighbors just so happy. I went downstairs from my flat and the guards were excited. The rickshaw wallahs were waving the Indian flag. So I was just excited to see that.
Okay, so switching gears a little bit, most of our listeners are probably knee-deep in high school drama. What kind of student were you back in the day, and did you have a favorite subject?
What kind of student was I? I think I was a mix. I was a late bloomer in terms of living up to my potential in terms of grades. So when I started off in high school in class 9, I didn't do too well. And I think it was
Okay.
because I wasn't smart. It was just I wasn't focused. And I think I was just too busy trying to either be popular or, oh, do the girls like me? Or the typical things that high school students get involved in. But I eventually I got really focused because a few of my mentors, I guess, saw potential in me, and they got me involved in debate, and they got me involved in youth and government, which is an internal kind of like a mock government.
Is it something like MUN? We have, okay.
And so it's more focused on the state level politics, but
Okay.
it's just so informal. And I mean, not formal, it's just mock. Like MUN.
Model United Nations, yeah.
I was also I played American football and also ran track, so those
Oh.
two kept me focused. And I think I was a mix of a jock and a academic kind of
Students,
nerdy
yeah.
chap. But still, like I think over time I became more and more focused. And I think it wasn't until the end of my class 11 or class 12 that I think looking back now started feeling more comfortable in my own skin and started to embrace who I was. But in between, it's just this time of like, wow, Greg, you were really
The awkward phase in
the awkward
the
phase.
middle.
I was somebody who loved to play sports, but also somebody who was very interested to learn about history and learn more about economics whenever possible. And I just didn't realize how much I liked that at that time. I was just going with the flow, as
Yeah.
now that
That's
I
a
look
good
back.
thing sometimes, like
It
just
is.
going with the flow, yeah.
It's a good way to discover yourself and to see what you like and you don't like. You're experimenting with a variety of things. And so it was
Yeah.
fun. Yeah, a mixture of a jock and a studious guy. But I used to hang out with a lot of people. I used to hang out. If I wasn't hanging out with my friends who are athletes, I was hanging out with my friends who I made who were like considered the gothic kids that I met in French class. And then I would hang
Oh.
out with the band kids, and I would hang out with the debate students. So
Oh.
I think I was in and out of every.
Different friend groups, one after the other.
Yeah.
What was your favorite subject?
I would say history, and I really liked physics.
Physics. Oh, that's
Physics was
a.
something that was just when I took physics on my class 12, and I just found it fascinating. I regretted not taking it earlier. And of course, I didn't take it in university, but now I'm reading books on quantum physics ever since I watched what is that movie?
Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was trying to figure that out. But I would say history, I loved, because I've always been a lover of history.
I love history as well, but physics a little low on the list. So, most of us at this age don't really have a blueprint of our entire lives planned out, and that's okay, right? Probably okay not to have the next 10 years of your life planned out. As a high school student, did you know what you wanted to do in the future, and was it what you're doing right now, or was it something else?
I did not know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be, there was two things I wanted to do, and I was always confused about it. One was work in IT. I graduated from high school in the year 2001, so it was during that time. So maybe looking at IT systems, so information systems management.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure why. I think maybe a teacher told me, "Oh, you'll make a lot of money here," and I was like, "Okay, I'll do it."
I think it's still relevant right now with
It is.
the IT, yeah.
It is. And on the other side, I wanted to be a firefighter.
Oh.
For a couple of reasons. One is that you get to help people, obviously, and you get to run into the fire and then bring somebody out. And I think, again, the second reason, and I was laughing with some coworkers about this morning. Again, your immature self, you're like, well, I get to wear a uniform, and
Come
if
down the pole. I
yeah,
feel like that's so
come
cool.
down the pole, and
Yeah.
if I exercise, I'll be very buff, and I'll wear a uniform, I'll be really cool. But none of that happened. Neither one of those happened. I think I didn't realize how much I liked debate, youth and government,
I
model
think
youth.
history ties into that as well.
And I was doing that, and I
Yeah.
didn't realize that that's what I wanted. But it's okay if you don't know what you want to do. I think it's good that you experiment with a variety of careers, because you're still young. You can do a lot of different things. So if you would have told my 16-year-old self that I was going to become a U.S. diplomat and speak more than two languages, I would have said no. Sure, not me. But I think I was also suffering from, I don't know if you've heard of this term, it's imposter syndrome.
I have, yeah.
I think I did like politics. I did like debate. I did want to do law school or international relations. I just didn't believe that I was smart enough. And
Yourself holding you back.
yeah, that was holding me back. And I look back now, I think my teachers and my mentors saw that I was smart. And I think that I'm really grateful that they kept on pushing me in a certain direction, because they saw certain things that I didn't see. So yeah, if you would have told me 25 years ago, you're going to become a U.S. diplomat, I was like,
Firefighter.
what is
That's
that?
pretty interesting. Yeah, especially the firefighter thing. I think firefighters are so cool. Whenever someone says firefighter, the only thing I picture is coming down that pole. Like, I've always wanted to come down a pole.
The funny thing is, my brother joined the U.S. Army,
Oh.
and he became a firefighter in the U.S. Army. And
Wow.
he became the firefighter, and he had no plans of becoming a firefighter. He was going to become some detective, I think.
Wow.
So again,
That's
you never know how life goes for you, unfolds for you. I think that's why it's important while you're in high school that you explore. Like you mentioned something like Model UN. Model UN is a great place to go and meet people from around, from other schools, to
Yeah.
sharpen your communication skills, to learn more about U.S. policy. I mean, not U.S. policy, but just foreign policy.
Yeah.
And so,
Global.
yeah, to get that global perspective. And I think that's one thing that I always encourage students to do. And making a pitch for the American Center, it's in New Delhi there in Connaught Place, and you can come to Dosti House in Mumbai, is we have a lot of discussions for youth on US India policy, and what that means for youth. There's so much we're doing on education. There's so much we're doing on sports and culture and arts. You can get involved in that, and it helps build a lot of goodwill on both sides.
Yeah, you meet people from different walks, like we discussed about networking. So another aspect of that.
And that's
Yeah.
good. It's important. And you see cultural ambassadors. I mean, look at you look at Priyanka Chopra, who is
Yeah.
cultural ambassador for India and the United States, and now Nick Jonas has become like a cult, the cultural ambassador for
Yeah, everyone calls him Jira G over here in
the
India.
to India. I mean, that's also a fun thing, and you get to see
Yeah.
what's going on there, and I think that's important. That's why I encourage students, like, you don't don't have to become a diplomat and an ambassador to become an ambassador for your community or your culture or your country. You can become a cultural ambassador now. So look
Yeah.
for those opportunities. And I think there are many opportunities that come up. You know, with the U.S. Department of State, there's a YES program where you can spend a year in high school in the United States.
Wow. Okay.
And so if you do that, imagine you get to learn more about the United States. You stay with the family, you go to high school there. You're also exposing that family and that community to somebody who's from India and that exchange. So
So an
that's
exchange program, yeah.
it's an exchange program. And we also have American students coming from the United States over to India for a year. And that's also really cool. Just so you get to explore a new country. Our U.S. ambassador to India, Eric Garcetti, he did that when he was in high school. He came to India.
Wow.
Yeah, and our consul general in Mumbai also spent a year of high school in Coimbatore. And so imagine it's a good exposure and it prepares
Yeah.
for careers in diplomacy.
So, throughout your career, of course, you've achieved so much, but no one is absolutely perfect, and mistakes are most definitely inevitable. For students, especially looking at marks we didn't expect, or even a bad grade, it does sometimes feel like the end of the world. Like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? But do you think it's important to make mistakes?
It's human to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. No one's perfect. I think it's important to learn from your mistakes.
Yes.
So those are things I've learned. You mentioned my career. I think early on, the mistakes I made were maybe not asking for help early on, thinking I can solve the problem myself. And that's not the way you do work in diplomacy. You should ask your coworkers. I used to be a poor planner when I was in high school. I would not have a calendar or a schedule. And sometimes I would not show up to meetings I was supposed to be at. I was overcommitted. And one thing I learned from there is that I had to be better structured. I had to have a better plan, have a schedule.
Organized,
Yeah,
yeah.
be organized because then people start looking at you as someone who's flaky. Or, that guy never showed
Yeah.
up. But in my career, I would say is making sure that things I learned before is just making sure your staff are doing well, your coworkers.
Well-being.
Yeah, the well-being, also making sure that they understand what your objectives are for whatever project you're working on. That's important. Always ask questions. I think that was one of the big mistakes I made when I first joined the Foreign Service as a U.S. diplomat, is not being confident enough to ask questions so I can get a clearer picture of what we're trying to achieve. And
Yeah.
that's really important to do. Ask questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question. So even as a high school student, ask questions. What does this mean? Or,
Yeah.
you don't understand something, ask for clarification. It's okay.
Sometimes it's in school also, it's not always good to say yes to everything. Like, it's okay
Yes.
to say no, that okay, I don't agree with this, and can you, like, I have a different view on this, so I think that's also okay.
I'm glad you say that because one of the mistakes I made, of course, I was not that organized, but I also used to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to say no, even though these
Same.
are
Being
side.
a people pleaser, quite
Yeah,
hard.
a people.
Yeah.
There you go. I wanted
Yeah.
to keep everybody happy, and I've learned the hard way. It's like, no, you can't keep everybody happy, and in fact,
Yeah.
you'll make people angry with you if you can't follow through, if you're overstretched. And
Yeah.
so, in high school, I know a lot of people want to prepare for university. So, say for example, you're trying to study in the United States. I'm going to go and apply for 20 universities, and I need to do all these extracurricular activities, so then I look really good for Harvard and for MIT. And maybe, quantity does not mean it's going to be good quality, right? It's
Yeah,
quality.
quality over quantity.
And that's where I would say narrow down what you really like and focus on that and do it well, because college admissions committees will look at that. I'll just make another pitch. This is what we do with Education USA. It's a service we provide at the American Center there in New Delhi, and also here in Mumbai. That's where you get some advice on how to manage that, because if you take on too much, then it can also be very stressful for you, and then
Overwhelming, yeah. It's very easy to get overwhelmed.
And then you'll get confused on what you really want to do. You start failing, not necessarily with your grades, but you start burning out, as I would say.
Yeah, I think it's really important, the quality over quantity thing. It's important to go into the depth of things rather than doing like 50 things at once.
Exactly.
Okay, so going back to grades, marks, etc., sometimes it does truly feel like our entire world for high school students revolves around making it to college. Like, that's the only thing that we're aiming for. But
Yeah.
we get so caught up in this, sometimes we lose touch with reality. I think for teenagers, I don't think a lot of us, personally me as well, we don't pick up the newspaper every day and just read it and make an effort to actually find out what's going on in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's important to know what's going on in the world, or even your own country. So do you think it's important to know what's going on in the world? And before that, are you a newspaper reader or are you the online digital media type of guy?
As a spokesperson covering press and digital media, I have to keep up with what's going on in the news.
Yeah.
My job.
But as when you were younger, did you
but I
read the
love
newspaper?
I still love the newspaper. So
Okay.
I still get a subscription in my office and at home. I read them whenever I have 10 minutes. If I have a quick break, I read it. But because my job is always pulling me in different directions, I'm going to different meetings. I obviously read the news on all the digital news that you have now. So you, of course, you have these distros that you can get. You can have Apple, like for example, I think Apple has a Apple News, and you can get like a curated kind of a set of news that based on your interests. So I do a lot of that reading. Obviously, right now when I'm in India, the first thing I do is read all news about US-India relations and any news about economic issues in India, political issues. That's my first thing. I read it on either on my desktop or I read it on my phone. But when I have that moment, I pick up the newspaper and I like the feel of the newspaper.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of my grandfather. My grandfather would always read the newspaper every morning. So for me, it's just nostalgic. But is it important for people to keep up with the news? Yes. Important current events. It's not just because I was a current events nerd in high school. I told you I was in academic
Yeah, MUN.
positions or current events, but I think it's so important to understand what's going on right now. Reading about issues of women's economic empowerment, climate issues,
Yeah.
diversity and inclusion issues, what's going on in your country regarding social issues, political issues. I think it is. I think it's difficult right now for anybody because so much news comes in your direction through,
Yeah.
social media, through, the news on TV. Sometimes just find an interest that you really like and keep up with it. But sometimes just keep up with the news. What is happening with climate? What is happening with, women in the workplace? What is happening with sports?
Yeah.
I think it's important because it'll make you a better informed citizen, teach you a lot more about your community. You become more empathetic about your
Yes.
neighbors. And that's really important. And also, you'll come off as being smart.
Yeah, it helps you have conversations with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say is that we're also living in an age of a lot of misinformation and disinformation. So you have to be careful in what you're reading. I think we joke about WhatsApp University and things that uncles and aunties forward and like,
Yeah.
oh my gosh, the government is trying to put a chip in my head and to control me. And it's like, it's not true.
WhatsApp
So,
forwards that keep, it's like a
yeah.
chain that keeps going, yeah.
So it's really important to keep up with the news, but also know how to filter it, know how to identify the news, find out what the source is too. It's so important because sometimes when I go and talk to people, they ask me questions, and some of these questions are like, it's based on either misinformation or disinformation about the United States, and it's like, well, that's not really true. Where did you find that?
Yeah, reliable sources, basically.
Look for reliable sources, and that's really important. But yes, keep up with the news. And if
Yeah.
you want to start, I know it can be overwhelming. Start with something you like. Start with sports, or start with music, or arts, or books, and then slowly go beyond that. Yeah, I read the news every day. I have to, but
Part of your job, yeah.
In fact, I have a framed a photo of a newspaper of the day of Indian Independence Day back here.
Wow.
And so that's
That's
how much.
pretty cool. Yeah, I think how you mentioned about reading an actual newspaper, I think it's the same way for books and movies. I think some people just prefer having a book where you can, turn the pages versus watching a movie. So I think
Exactly.
that's
Yeah.
pretty similar. What do you think are the three most valuable skills that students need today or should have today?
Three most valuable skills, I would say writing effectively. And that means it doesn't mean just letter writing, but I'm talking emails or communicating effectively. That's really important. That's a universal skill. It's a timeless skill. And if you don't communicate effectively, then people won't understand what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And obviously now with AI, with things like ChatGPT, it can be easy to type something up real quick, but still learn how to communicate. And that's not just typing, it's also oral communication.
Okay.
And so that's really important. And that includes knowing how to read a room. So if I walk in with a group of high school students, if I see you, right, I'm like, hi, Shahid, how's it going? So it's going to be very informal. Howard. But if I walk into a room and I know, okay, there's maybe there's some women
Important.
CEOs, there's some doctors or there's some senior editors, and I'm gonna have to switch the way I speak. So communicating effectively orally and written, and that includes just having a high EQ on that. Like, so if I'm trying to reach out to a senior editor, I'm not gonna say, "Hey, bud, how's it going?" The second one is organizational skills. And this is for any industry, whether you're going to go into arts or music or government or business, just knowing how to be organized, knowing how to lead people, knowing how to set an agenda that has like, here are our specific goals, how to recruit volunteers, how to get people to do the work that you're trying to delegate to them. And that's really important. So those organizational skills are really important. So, my wife went to St. Xavier's College in Mumbai, and she was involved with, I think it was called, there was this festival called Malhar or something like that on campus. So the big thing, they used to organize that. And so those are a lot of good skills that she learned. And she said a lot of her classmates who used to do that have become big time event planners now, which is a big industry in Bombay. So, those are skills that are invaluable. And the third skill would be, I think, knowing how to become resilient, knowing how to be resilient. So that's taking care of yourself, taking care of the people around you who are working with you. That's important because regardless of what work you're going to do, you're always going to hit a point that you're a little tired. So knowing how to sit down and reflect and learn from mistakes, learn from successes, that's really important. So I would say those three skills, like communication, both oral and written, organizational skills, but also that resilience. So you can take care of yourself and the team that you're leading. Because no matter how smart you are, if you don't have those three skills, and it doesn't matter,
Won't get you anywhere.
even if you go study at the best university in the world, it doesn't matter. If you don't have those three skills, then you're not going to be successful.
So about stress, taking care of yourself, I think it's pretty relevant for high schoolers. How do they cope with stress? What do you think?
I don't know. How do high schoolers cope with stress
How do
now?
you think they should cope with stress? Do
I
you
don't
have
know.
anything to say about that?
Find a hobby. Like, find something you like. Do it. Disconnect from your phones every now and then. I grew up at a time where we didn't have smartphones around us.
Social media
Social
detox,
media,
home.
yeah, do a detox. Find a hobby that you really like. Learn how to play the guitar. If you like running, go running. You want to go volunteer somewhere and teach underprivileged kids, for example. But I think the most important thing is always having that those close circle of friends that you can talk to.
The support system.
The support system, where you can share, frustrations, ask for advice. That's so important. That was true back when I was in high school, and it's true now. Just having a support network is so important. You're going to be going through a lot of changes. You're probably going to school with students who you've known your entire life. And then, say, for example, if you decide to study in the United States, you're going to leave the country. Or if you're going to study here in India, you're going to go into another university or campus where you're going to meet new friends, students, and that can be a shocker for a lot of people. One thing we tell students when they get ready to go to the United States and study is like connect with people who are studying there right now who are from India. We have a pre-departure orientation, so we get together all these students who are getting ready to leave for the United States, and we bring them together for a big session for them and their families. They get to meet current students who are there, and they also learn how to deal with culture shock.
Yeah, I was just about to say culture shock is a big thing as well.
One thing I was going to say, I know you've asked me for three skills. I'll add a fourth, cultural adaptability. Because no matter where you go, even if you stay in your same country, you're going to have to adapt to a new culture. So that's another thing that's really important. So even if you stay in Delhi and say you go to St. Stephen's, very different from where you're going to high school, right? And if you go to another country, you're going to have to adapt to that culture. And that's something I've learned too over time, even when I went from high school to university, cultural adaptability.
I think you're kind of used to it, going to different places and adapting to the culture.
I'm used to it now, but I'll admit it was initially difficult because you want to be around what is familiar. When you expose yourself to other cultures or people, it's good to get out of your comfort zone. And so it's initially a shocker, but then eventually you learn how to adapt and then it becomes fun. And so it'll be difficult at first, but that's why it's important to have that circle of a support circle, support system.
Okay, so as a student, like if students want to go to the US to study, with all the protests and everything going on, I mean, from an outsider's perspective, it does look kind of dangerous, especially to our parents as well. So what would you say about this?
You know, one thing I would say is our universities, and that we've been saying this for these past few months, and also our ambassador has been saying it a lot in the press. It's universities prioritize students' security. They prioritize international students' security and well-being and safety. That's something that's really important. Like I said, we do a lot of pre-departure orientation, so students and parents get to meet students who are currently studying there, also parents who have students in the United States. You know, with protests, we're a big believer in the right to protest and a freedom of speech. It's really important in the United States, and it's something that we continue to uphold. But it's also, you know, the right to free speech in a peaceful assembly. So we encourage people who are, you know, who are doing that they remain peaceful. And you see that with throughout different university campuses. But as always, universities will prioritize student security, but we also encourage students to, you know, wherever they're going to university, whether they're going to Indiana University or St. Mary's University or the University of Texas or Harvard, UCLA, familiarize yourself with the security resources that are there. All university campuses have these blue lights. They're like little towers. And so all over campus. So if you're ever walking there at night or during the day and you feel like you're not safe, you can press that and the campus police comes and helps you out. And so they make sure to keep you safe. There's also, for a lot of parents, they're concerned about the culture shock their students are experiencing. Every university has a counseling center where people can go and seek counseling for mental health, well-being. I would say for every student and every parent who see, like, say, protests online, you know, one is reach out to the university that your student is going to, and see what their security is. And they all prioritize security. And that's important. And also for students who go to the United States and they choose to protest, again, you have the right to free speech, but know the rules, and it should be peaceful assembly, which is you know, it's something that's in our constitution. But again, I would say universities prioritize student well-being and safety, and it's something that is really important to us. So we provide that information to students who are going to the United States. There's a lot of resources out there for students, and I know at the University of Texas, when I used to be there for my master's, there was a volunteer student group that if you're studying late at the library and you're there till midnight or 1 in the morning, and you're going back to your dormitory, you don't want to walk by yourself. They could call them, and then they would come and meet you wherever they're at, and they'll escort you. They walk you. They're like, they're these buddies who kind of walk to your dormitory.
That's nice.
That's nice. So we still believe that university campuses are safe for students. They're a great place for learning. It's a great place where you're going to be able to flourish and grow. And most importantly, like if they're going to the United States and you're from India, you'll continue to help our relationship grow. There's over 200,000 students from India studying in the United States right now. And it continues to grow. And they make our classrooms more vibrant. And these people end up being the people who glue our relationship together. So we're going to continue to encourage students and parents to consider the United States as a destination.
I think that clears a lot of things up. So you were involved in international relations. How can someone in high school begin to even explore this field? And what course did you do in high school?
I'll start with what I did in high school. In high school, I did your general curriculum, and this is in Texas and public schools there. I had to take my mathematics, I had to take geometry, algebra 2, calculus. I had to take my science courses, I had to take economics, I had to take government, I had to take art and theater.
Quite a few.
I did a few. And so that was because I was going to university. And then in university, I actually started off as a business major, as a management information systems major. And I found that really boring. During that time, I really got involved with student government. I became the vice president of the Student Government Association. I was involved in other groups like LULAC and others. Also got involved with political campaigns in my city of San Antonio. And so I realized that I really liked political science and international relations. And that's how I ended up traveling to southern Mexico. I studied abroad in London, and I did a summer study tour of India. And so that got me involved. And so it was, like I said, I was a late bloomer. I realized much later that I really liked international relations. But for a high schooler, I would say do things like Model UN. Good way to expose yourself. Again, I'll make a pitch. If you're in, go to the American Center, or follow the Instagram page or Facebook or Twitter. They have some really good programs there for students. Every now and then, they have programs that you can go in person or virtual programs. In Mumbai, we have Dosti House here in BKC. So we have a variety of programs where high school students can come and learn more about not just international affairs, but entrepreneurship, where you get to hear from US, from American voices and Indian voices. We have programs on film. We have programs on music. For example, we have upcoming programs on AI. US-India relations is not just government to government. It's also all these other things that we're doing together as a society. And so I would encourage students to go there. And of course, all the other countries also have centers, like, you know, like the American Center is there in Connaught Place in Delhi, but you also have the British Council. So when you go to places like that, you get to expose yourself to international affairs and cultural affairs. And so I encourage students to do that when you're in high school. You know, sometimes there are some good programs that cultural centers host. And so if you go to a cultural center in your city, that's a good place to go and learn more about a different culture or country. So, but if you don't have much time for that, I would say try to do things like Model UN. Great ways to start exposing yourself to global affairs or international relations.
Yeah, so these early career experiences, I think they help professional growth quite a bit, even internships, right? So do you think it's important to have internships in high school? Because, you know, when you get to 11th, 12th grade, everyone's like, okay, you should do an internship. It, you know, gives you exposure to the field you might be wanting to go into, right?
No, yes, please do. Like, you should. If you have the opportunity to do it, I think you're a good example. You're doing this podcast. You're exploring something. You're exploring podcasts, which have become really big now. It's a new form of communication, and you know you're going to use a social media platform. So you're exploring a certain field that maybe you won't do it as a career, but you're learning skills, and it's something you can point to when you're applying to a university. And so, yeah, I encourage students to do that. I some students volunteer for an NGO or a nonprofit. Any opportunity you have like that, I would say do it, because that's also the time that you get to spend exploring what you like to do and what you don't like to do. And so, once I started doing more information systems management work, I realized I don't think I like this.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people when they go to college switch their majors like that. Like you go to college like doing one thing and come out doing another. So
Exactly.
I think even college is a place to explore, right?
Yeah. And that's why you see that, you know, for example, in the United States, I was an information systems management major and I dropped it. I was able to switch over to another major. And
I think liberal arts colleges are pretty flexible about
yeah,
switching and all.
flexible in general. And I think, well, I'm speaking for the United States universities. I think even if you're majoring in, even if you go to a major public university, you can start off, you can go in undeclared, or you can go in, say, as an engineering major, and then you switch to business or economics. Yeah, you can do that. And I think that's the flexibility, I think, for, and that's one thing I really like about our higher education system in the United States.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's speed things up a bit with an instant rerun. Quick answers, quick questions. Okay, I'll give you a 3-2-1.
Okay.
Three, two, one. Funniest stereotype about Mexicans.
People think we all know how to dance. We all don't know how to dance. I'm one of them. I cannot dance. I have two left feet.
Favorite movie?
I would say The Dark Knight Rises. I'm a big Batman fan, and The Dark
Oh.
Knight Rises is just one of my favorites.
Most used app on your phone.
Oh, I would say Instagram. I love Instagram and I love too, but I just like following, you know, different influencers, and sometimes I get my news from there. That's where I start off.
Okay, I think I might know the answer to this, but I'm still gonna ask, is Taco Bell authentic Mexican food?
No, that is not authentic Mexican food. There is much better Mexican food out there.
Okay, one Gen Z slang you just don't understand.
Riz.
Okay, maybe I'll try my best to explain that after this. If you could be anyone's screen or book character, who would it be?
Ooh, I think I would be, oh gosh, oh man, difficult one. Okay, I'll go with movie. I think I'd be, oh gosh, I'm a Batman fan. I would be Batman.
I saw that answer coming when you mentioned Batman.
Yeah.
Whenever they show movies, like Mexican movies or Mexico in movies, why
Yeah.
does it always look yellow? Is it actually yellow in Mexico
It's
or
not
no?
yellow.
Okay.
And I can it's not yellow, and I think they just do that for to I'm not sure why they do it.
Yeah,
I think I've read it somewhere.
it's
It creates this like a mysterious kind of
Yeah.
environment, but it's not yellow. It's they have blue skies, and you
I'm
know,
showing, yeah.
they have mountains and plains and everything.
Okay, one book everyone should read.
The Alchemist by
Okay.
Paulo Coelho. Yeah, it's a great book, especially once you get ready to graduate from high school or university. Great book.
What's the best piece of advice you've received?
Never stop learning. Always continue to learn. And I'm learning that right
Yeah.
now as I try to I learn how to use ChatGPT and AI.
What's a common misconception about your job that annoys you?
So I'm a spokesperson, right?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks I work on visas
I
in India.
think US consulate in general, when you hear
Yeah, I
that,
get
it's like
slammed.
visas.
Yeah, I get slammed. And in the United States, a lot of people outside of Washington, D.C. don't understand what I do. So they think I'm an officer, an FBI agent. Like, they think I'm like a international spy and jumping out of helicopters. I'm like, no, it's not that.
Okay, let's clear it up. You don't work on visas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. What's one thing you miss most about the US?
Barbecues and picnic. I just miss being out doing that outside with friends and family out at parks. And it's a big thing, especially from in Texas. We love to have our barbecues and picnic fun.
Last one, what's next on your career bucket list? Do you have anything
I
you
think
want to do?
one thing I would love to do is, and it would just be to check the box, is work in the White House.
That's a nice one. Okay, last one for today, and an answer which I think differs from person to person. What do you think the world will look like in a decade?
Oh gosh, it's going to be so different. I think,
AI.
yeah, AI. AI is going to change the way, it's another pivotal moment where it's going to change the way we interact, just like Google and Facebook and kind of transform the way we communicate in society. AI is going to do the same thing. And so you're going to look back in 10 years and you're going to say, wow, I remember a time before AI. And so yeah, the world is going to continue to get smaller, meaning the way we can communicate. So even today, we're doing this
Virtually.
virtually. This would have been unheard of 25 years ago. It would have been very difficult. You would have had to have all these different connections, and we do it so easily.
Yeah, I think COVID helped with this a lot, especially the virtual aspect. I think everyone learned how to use Zoom and things like that because of COVID.
Yeah, the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay, so this sums it up. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and insights with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you for having me, and best of luck to you, and best of luck to all your listeners out there that are exploring high school. And like I said, look up your local American Center, whether you're in Delhi or if you're in Mumbai, look up Dosti House. We have a lot going on here. And if you're ever exploring foreign affairs or you want to learn more about the US and India or studying in the United States, we're the best place to come to.
I think that's a cool name also, Dosti House.
Yeah,
That's a nice name. Okay,
Dosti
to our listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Unfiltered Espresso. Be sure to stick around for a bit. Until next time, bye.